There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You tentacle play it a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Hey everyone, how are we all? This is the Brady and Coke Show, the post-match show that's brought to you by the Ought to Know Better podcast. I'm Smarty, and I'm joined by the wonderful Gilly and the even more little fantastic Daniel from the Not Another Leeds podcast. How are you both this morning, gentlemen? Have you got the coffees at the ready? Are you raring to go?
The little fantastic Daniel, did you say?
The little fantastic.
I'll have you know, I'm actually average. I am not little. I'm perfectly average.
In what year?
Dwarf.
Compared to hobbits, I'm average. Yeah, that's right.
Compared to his colleagues, he's a giant. Some would say. Yeah. You both well?
Amazing.
Bloody hell!
Yeah, I'm very good. Yeah, very I'm going to just reciprocate the silent nod that you gave me on Friday.
To be fair, I was waiting for Gilly to say. I was actually looking at him thinking, is he going to speak, shall I go? Because I thought as soon as I speak, then we'll both end up speaking at the same time. I'm very well, thanks. Even better after a wonderful win at Elland Road yesterday. I know obviously you went, Matthew. Danny, did you tune in?
I had to stop watching 10 minutes from then because I had to go out. But yeah, it's good win, wasn't it, really? A bit. It should have been dead in the first 20 minutes for me, but it was a good win in the end. You could say routine at this point.
You'd like to think so. I said at the start to a few of the guys that this had a potential banana skin because their away record is absolutely terrible. Our home record is fantastic and we are Leeds. So anything can happen. And in the first 20 minutes, I thought they did all right. They contained us quite well. What are your thoughts on the game, Gilly? Any highlights particularly for you?
Well, yeah, a few. I think just to touch on what Danny just said, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see Liam Richardson's comments after the game. He's their gaffer. He spoke about how they took the game to us and how it was a poor decision that turned the game on its head and that the onus was with them. I think that's a load of shit. I think that we dominated the game from start to finish. I think it was really easy. As some people have said, it was boring. It was so easy. I don't feel that there was any jeopardy in the game, which I think is where that term boring. My response to that was, well, I'd take boring 3-0 wins from now till end of season, no problem. And I think it was that lack of jeopardy. I was sat in a horrendous area of the ground that I will not look to be going back to.
Name it. name it.
Northeast Upper, have to sit down. Not a lot of chanting going on. It was just, yeah. We won't be choosing to come back. We were devastated. We don't like to sit down when we're at football. And I think that was part of it. But yeah, no, always round. It was efficient, and is that not what we're looking for? We want them to be better than the opposition. We want them to do really well, and they did.
Yeah. Were you, Danny? Were you keeping your eyes on the scores elsewhere?
I was. Yeah. I even messaged some of my dog bothering friends and said,
"You have friends that are dog botherers."
Well,
need to choose yourself.
I guess where you live.
From Murfield,
isn't he? I'm on
the border.
Yeah,
it's the bothering sort of border. The bothering border. There you go.
It's more of a survival technique. You know, because when I need stuff like food, I need to, you know, be nice to him. So, but I don't eat kibble. You know what I mean? I don't eat dog food. But do you know what dogs call dog food?
Food.
Nothing, because I can't speak English. Just got rough. Anyway, so
all the facts on the Arsenal Bestie podcast.
English.
I'm just saying.
They can speak Spanish and Italian quite fluently, apparently, but English is a bit of a challenge.
Are you telling me you've not seen a dog go like that? I see it all the time. But I was looking at the scores and I couldn't believe my eyes. They were 2-0 up at half time, and I was like, This is it. We're going to go second, and then full time happened. The less said, the better.
Yeah, the shit out. I don't know if you guys saw. I think we briefly covered it when we were on your podcast on Friday. Danny, did you see the supercomputer predictions for this weekend?
Yeah.
All the top four were supposed to lose, and obviously, the only ones that did were Ipswich. We'll obviously come back to our game a little bit. You know,
I think they drew, didn't they?
They did draw with West Brom, which is a cracking result all round, really, because it keeps them away from the door. I think are we 11 or 12 points above West Brom now? And, I think we're safely in front of Ipswich. I can't see them really challenging anymore. I think it's just going to be a steady decline for the rest of the season. Don't know what your two thoughts are, but I think, you know, given their current form. Yeah, Ipswich. I think their current form.
I think they're so jammy. I mean, that Hutchinson, because I watched that game and it was just a good strike, to be fair, but it went through like three or four bodies, and that Kipri on the line just sort of fell over. I just think they're so lucky. They just won't go away like the herpes of the championship.
Yes. Forever. Forever stained.
I did appreciate, actually, before I set off for Ellen Road yesterday, I had a bit of the Ipswich game on. And they were a side that were on top. So for the first 18 minutes or so, they were well on top. And then the goal went the other way. And I really enjoyed that. That was nice. Because it's felt like a lot of things have gone their way this season. So if the tide of that has turned, then all well and good. I think one of the highlights of the day was the halftime chant when that scoreline came up. Halftime celebration in the stands. When the scoreline was put up on the big screen, I think overall, I it was still a bit frustrating for me. I think the Willie goes down so easy, but the one where he went into the box and was being challenged, behave yourself.
Sorry, I'm being sure.
It's too early for that.
Sunday morning. It's a family show.
he cut in, he beat his man Orlenzo, his man fouled him, the foul continued into the box, and nothing was given at all, which was shite. And yet, they're in the same position, or the same area of the pitch, just outside the box, on either side, just in front of the cop, their man fell over twice and was with no touch at all on them and got the free kick. So he's thinking, well, that is just shite. The real highlight for me, though, is Chief Shithouse, Lord Chief Bamford. And his funky chicken celebrations with his, because I reject wholeheartedly the fact that he handballed that. It came off his chest, and that celebration was him doing the funky chicken. He wasn't showing that he was doing the people's elbow or anything like that. He wouldn't do something like that.
No, not an outstanding sort of celebration to accompany an outstanding goal, might I say.
What a finish.
I genuinely did think it came off his chest. I mean, it probably didn't. I liked the shithousing from the club as well when they tweeted. I think is it something like they're all on target or when they're on target or something like that.
They all count or something.
Yeah. That's it, they all count. Yeah, I thought that were pretty clever. What I was gonna say is, Mr. Dodo has said it in the comments. Ipswich haven't been the same since we spanked them 4-0 back in December. And when you actually look at their, I mean, this isn't obviously an Ipswich podcast; it's a Leeds United podcast. But we beat them 4-0. They drew with Leicester. They drew with QPR. They drew with Stoke. They beat Sunderland, to be fair. They drew again with Leicester. They lost to Preston, and they've drawn with West Brom. Their form's gone to rat shit. Confidence is massive in this league, as we've seen it, and we've been experienced it, obviously, quite a few times. But when we're on such a good run, and Saints are on such a good run, and Leicester are on such a good run, it's going to be bloody close coming towards the end of the season now. We're just kind of... when we play Leicester and Southampton again, we've really, really got to make these games count.
But that last game of the season, it's building for it, isn't it? It really is building for it.
Massive. It really, really is setting itself up. Joe Rodon, 30th start for Leeds, securing the 20th victory in those matches. He becomes the first central defender in Leeds history to achieve this milestone. What do you reckon to that, then?
He's a star. I love him.
The big sacks of cash from Cine, drop it at Levy's door. Give it for Rodon. I don't care. We want him. We need him. Everybody loves him. He's a great player. One of the bricks in the Welsh wall we have, and get him signed up for me. I think that's fair and sane. I think.
Yes. Yeah. I think the Sinisterra money will come in nicely. I mean, it obviously it helps us out in the Championship. Should we not go up next season? But it's all fitting together quite nicely. £45 million for two biscuits, which keep crumbling. And we've, you know, happy days. I think there's been I wouldn't say a debate, but obviously you're either a Ben White fan or a Joe Rodon fan in this argument. But, you know, if you were to choose one at this point in time, Ben White or Joe Rodon, lads?
Ben White.
Yeah, I think that's a really
good debate. I don't think that's a debate. Yeah, he's so much better because if you look at what he's done since going to a top six side and look at what Joe Rodon did having gone to a top six side. Now, I think that might have been a bit too early in his career and Ben White stayed at Brighton for another season and built. The step from Swansea to Spurs is massive and... Mm-hmm. Ben White had the opportunity for Bielsa. He had a situation where he graduated that step up because he was in the Premier League and then he went to Arsenal under a big deal. So I think the expectation might have been slightly different. But I think as players, I think Ben White's probably the best centre-back we've had since we first got relegated from Premier League.
Yeah, I agree. I thought I'd ask you a question because it seems to be quite a hot topic on the social stratosphere, as they say.
I think Ben White's got better passing as well. You know, I think just his diags too out to the wings that he used to just spray about, and I just don't think Rodon's got that. You know, for now, but I think yeah.
Ben White should be allowed. By the way, I don't think he should be allowed. The fake bake, the shit hair. That, you know, he's all that is not the way that a centre back should behave. It's just not how a centre back should behave. We shouldn't be having any of that at all. So, Joe Rodon suits being a centre back better.
Yeah. But, I think they're slowly,
as a footballer, Ben White.
I think he's slowly turning into a character from Cyberpunk. I think he's Ben White, just for the way the stuff that he wears and the piercings that he's getting in his tattoos.
Yeah,
he's fell off appearance wise. He's like pro clubs player now, isn't he? It's like someone's just created him on the pro clubs.
That's it.
And one other question is: does Joe Rodon ever score that volley that Ben White scored for us?
Do you know?
I don't know.
It'll be just Rodon's luck that he does that. You know, like Ben White's. That's the only goal he scored that season, isn't it? And he scores a volley straight away. I think Rodon's going to wear an overhead double scissor kick flip, land in the splits.
I think he'd break his back or his neck if he tried. he's got to score a Thunder Bastard or a big boosh header. He does need to get into goals.
I'd like to see him score. I was kind of hoping that Archie Gray would have buried his chance as well last yesterday. I think my heart nearly stopped. I thought if he scores that, but no, cracking performance. I do think Ben White, like you say, is probably a better technically better. But you like you say, Rodon is just an absolute machine, and partnered with Ampadu as well. They're just absolutely solid. I really, really can't see Strike getting back into the team as it is, especially with how well Gruev's playing. We've got Kamara. Roberts did well when he came on yesterday. It was nice to see Gray push up into the centre of midfield. It all just seems to be nicely ticking along now. And these players that we've got, which are obviously quite interchangeable, it's just like a glove that fits so perfectly. And I just hope to God that we just keep up to it and just keep putting the pressure on the top two, because it's in our hands now, isn't it? We just got to kind of hope that Southampton.
It's not in our hands.
Slip up.
No, it's not in our hands. I think.
No, our form is in our hands. 100%.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Because I think Saints have got a game in hand over us and a point ahead, aren't they? So it's not in our hands. But all we can do is keep. Yeah, but it would have been in our hands to be able to get in front of Southampton if the dog botherers had have finished off the job that they started yesterday. Yes. Because we do need to play against them, but there's 4 points to overhaul rather than three. So, have you ever had an opportunity to see any or hear any of Parker's comments after the game yesterday?
I've not, no.
I'll read some out.
I usually do it on a Sunday morning, but obviously because we've come straight on here, I've not even seen any highlights. I was kind of looking for. I've seen a few bits on Twitter, especially Somerville's Panenka penalty, which was just absolutely sublime. That's probably one of the best penalties I've ever seen. Do you know what? Can I just say before? I absolutely wanted Bamford to take that. I don't know why. I just did. I just thought, let Paddy take it, please. I don't know why. I've had a complete, not a U-turn, because I think he's limited to what he can bring. But I'm finding myself falling in love with Patrick Bamford again a little bit. And I know. The thing is, before he went to shit, I were a massive Bamford fan. But since the Premier League, it's kind of discoloured it a little bit, obviously, as it would do because he was so poor. But I don't know if you guys have listened to the Joe Wilkinson podcast that my mate's a footballer. It's opened my eyes a lot, actually. And when you get that kind of personal accounts on a lot of the performances and the situations that he were in and his circumstances, you kind of think, oh, we were being a bit harsh. You can't really be a bit more or less harsh on his performances because they weren't up to it. And as a club, we failed by, you know, helping him along or getting back up to alleviate his position and get someone else in, or maybe even bring in fucking, what's his name, one in Cup, fucking Rodrigo, and getting him injured, the fucking silly young sod. But anyway, but no, I've digressed slightly.
There's an old one.
A bit of a tangent. Yeah, but yeah, it's great to see Patrick Bamford playing football and looking like he's enjoying himself again. But anyway, please carry on, Matthew, as you were.
Yeah, so I was just going to comment on the Panenka point that you made. Because of where I was sat in North East Upper, I was looking down on the goal, genuinely looked like he'd missed it. It looked like he'd taken the piss, but it had just gone over rather than just gone into, because of the angle that I was watching it from. And I was like, oh no, you can't do that, because if you take that sort of penalty and you don't score it, then you look a complete knob.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's been quite a lot of reaction to it, and some of that reaction is not positive. I think if you do score that penalty, it's fine. I don't think there's an issue with sportsmanship or anything like that. It's all a game between the keeper and the taker. And if you get your keeper to dive because it looks like you're going bottom corner, so they're diving to try and get there, well, then you've done your job. So I don't really see an issue with it. But on to Farkas' comments, I think these are just perfect. And this is another bit of nice shithousing, but shithousing nonetheless. It could have been a tennis score with the chances we created, but you have to respect Rotherham for fighting until the end. They never gave up, and they had a few set pieces in the final 10 minutes, so we're happy with the 3-0. If Patrick's goal was a handball, then it probably should not have stood, but these things do even themselves out over the course of a season. It can sometimes be more important if it was a match-winning goal, but today we created so many chances and scored more goals, I don't think it would have made a difference to the results if it had been disallowed. I was happy with the manner in which we scored and created the chances, and we could have scored more. But it's important that we also came back to the dressing room with a clean sheet. Sometimes when you have this level of dominance, you can get carried away and lose your discipline, and we didn't at any point today.
Absolutely nailed it. I said something similar when we're in the stands and it went in. There were people saying, "Oh, it's come off his arm." I says, "It don't matter whether it comes off his chuffing tits. We were going to absolutely batter them anyway. You know, rightfully. You know, we were going to batter them. You could see it. They were just shocking. And I know that their fans are turning on their manager already. You know, well, it's
fuck their fans. They didn't even show up.
I know it was such apparently a poor performance.
No, they say they were a boycott. I'm not having any of that at all.
From the fans.
Well, that's what I've seen online, but you know how the online ether is.
No, do you remember the fallout around the reciprocal pricing and the fact that they refused to pay our pricing and all of that sort of shit? I'm not having any of it. I think
it's a constant battle with dickheads on Twitter with the reciprocal pricing thing. I just find it really, really funny that they feel like they've been so hard done to when really it's their chairman or their board that are trying to line their own pockets. You know,
And some of them are quite open about it. That would have cost us £3,500 if we'd have done that. Fine. Yeah. But their fans are still going, "So I can't believe that Leeds are doing that." No. Your board of your club have prioritised the earnings for the home game at your side over the price that you're going to pay at our side. That's it. There's no other...
teach people what reciprocal means.
Reciprocity is not well understood in the football fan base.
No, it's not.
People think you've been like conjuring some sort of spell right down that neck of woods, isn't it?
They obviously haven't seen Line of Duty. That's the problem. If you've seen Line of Duty, you understand reciprocity.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's surprising how many fans or how many teams there are out there that haven't had the reciprocal pricing that seem to kick off and want to blame Leeds and this and the other. And says, "Well, it was there. It was offered to everyone. You know, read up on it. Get educated, please." Danny, have you got any man of the match for yesterday? Who's your man of the match from yesterday?
It's easy for me to go with Rutter, Somerville, but I kind of want to give it to Nonto because I just feel like his attitude's so much better and his defensive work were really impressive. He was actually helping out Archie Gray, right back, but, you know, he started... You could give it, if you give it to the front five, I would. Do you know what I mean? But I think, for me personally, I think the Nonto, it's so easy to go to Samuel Rutter because they had exceptional games. But I just think, not just because of Nonto's game looks really so much better, I think.
Yeah. It's nice to see him forming well now. It's going to be a struggle for anyone to try and knock it. I mean, I don't know where you are with the Dan James thing. Does Dan James come back in over Nonto at the minute with how well, I mean, obviously, given how well James were playing beforehand, but how obviously well Nonto's playing currently, that's going to be a bit of a tough decision for Fark.
Does
he come back in?
I don't think anybody comes straight back in. I think all of them need to play their way back into it. Absolutely. Form's going to dip at some point. You hope it's only going to be one or two individuals when it does. And when we do, I think we can be confident that we've got the squad that can deal with that now. We've got Gray that can go right back, but we've got a right back to come in. We've got two centre backs that are performing admirably at the moment. So when somebody comes back, they're not going to oust them. I think it's just a case of they've got to turn up constantly and put it in constantly in training so that they are ready when the opportunity comes. Because there's going to be bookings, there's going to be injuries. You know, there's still a lot of football to be played. We're still early in February. So there's going to be opportunities for other people to come in, but I don't think anybody comes back in just because they're available at all.
I think it's not like, obviously it's circumstantial, isn't it? But to think that even if James was to be benched, which is more likely going to be the case, to imagine being Rotherham and looking over to the side and seeing Dan James just warming up in the 80th or 70th minute. Imagine being there right back. Or left back, should I say. Just thinking, "Oh, Christ, bury me now." It doesn't matter who you play for. You see Dan James warming up and about to come on pitch, your life's about to be a lot
Especially
harder.
After 70, 75 minutes, you're thinking, "Fucking hell, I'm knackered." This guy, then he's coming on.
Absolutely ruin us, this guy. I do have a picture of the Bamford's goal, by the way. I don't know if you guys are interested in seeing it.
Go on. Shoot.
Oh, wow.
It's nice, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I never realised before just how much Johansson looked like Shilton. Yeah. That's a surprise to me.
It's uncanny, some would say.
Yeah.
And we're going to fly through some of these comments that have been starred. So for the audio listeners, these are the comments on the which we've starred throughout the show. Matt Leeds says, "Hey guys, great win. We have the player with the world's greatest elbow.
The people's Teflon, elbow. Yeah.
Teflon elbow.
Joe and Jay would appreciate the people's elbow, I think. Wasn't that the Rock? Yeah. That had the people's elbow.
Yes. Yes, I think it was.
That's about the extent of my greased up men.
It was. Sliding all over each other. Just to annoy the both, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin who did the people's elbow. Just to was annoy it? People out there. Yeah.
Oh, actually. Well, there you go. You're educated. I've not watched wrestling since I was a child.
I once rang up. I had a house party going and I was pissed. And I rang the helpline and offered out that Stone Cold Sober guy.
Right. How old were you?
19.
That's 19. Who's that Stone Cold Sober guy? I'll have him. Bring him to Dewsbury.
He's all mouth.
Yeah. I'll knock him back to US&A. Philip Anderson says, Bamford. I'm not going to call him what you called him on Friday, Daniel. Bamford definitely celebrated with his elbow. It was so funny. Yeah, I think that alludes to, obviously, the chicken dance that you were doing earlier, Gilly. Mr. Dodo, Patrick Bamfordonna and his hand of Jod. Jod? Or is that supposed to be God? Is that a typo? I think it might be. I'm not even going to... Acom Tony, 1919. Hey up, lads. Germany watching along with the rest of the world. Absolutely buzzing. Yeah, definitely, mate. I think it's always a better Sunday morning if we play them on a Saturday, innit? You know, and we've walked away with 3 points. Absolutely sound. Philip Anderson says, just so gutted about the Southampton result at the end. Was in second position in the championship. I know. I couldn't believe it. There were like pockets of people like celebrating stuff like that. Town are 2-0 up, or you know that they're winning again. I think they got it to 3-2, didn't they? Then they ended up losing 5-3. The useless sods. But it's bloody great. Gail, have we not heard Ipswich goal difference compared to us, Southampton and Leicester? I think they're on like 15, aren't they?
I think they
are. They're on 15 and we're on 29 now.
Yeah, bloody hell. Their goals conceded. Is really bad. I mean, they've always had to keep scoring more than the opportunity. Look at us when we beat them 4-3. They had to come back, didn't they? Yeah. They've always had to come back to win your 2-1s, 3-2s. So I think it's just like I said before Christmas, I can't see him sustaining that sort of form. And now we're seeing like that come to fruition. One win in nine is not. You know what I mean? I think they're just running out of steam. And I'm hoping, touch wood, that Southampton do the same.
I can't see that one.
That Rothwell scored two great goals yesterday for them. And then they got an own goal, which by Tom Lees, of all people, just sort of came. It just looked like he toe-poked into their bottom left. But I think, other than that, they dropped 2 points there, if that doesn't go in. Cause I think, you know... We're quite fortunate, but that's the look at us yesterday with Bamford's goal. So,
yeah, but sometimes you have to make your own luck, haven't you? You know, we've been very, very unfortunate in a lot of games, and you know, like you've said, you know, Ipswich have been very fortunate in a lot of their goals and a lot of their games that they've played in. And sometimes, you know, luck does go your way, and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, we've been absolutely done over a few times. I mean, look at bloody Premier League and how many chuffing goals we had chalked off. And then they changed the frigging rules of VAR and all sorts of stuff. You know, that's just us, isn't it? You know, that's just, you know, it's just
Pat Bamford's offside, where his hand was offside.
Oh, against Palace.
Well, now his hand has had some payback.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Quite not Roof-esque, well, wasn't it?
When Roof it can't have been offside if you can't score with it. So that's allowed then, surely. That's the point, isn't it? I'd not it's thought like, of that.
The first game back in the Premier League against Liverpool, it came off Cox's leg and hit his arm. Bang, penalty. Yep. And then about 3 weeks later, they changed the rule. And then you've got the Harry Kane wiping out the Spurs wiping out Melier Kane goal. Just so inconsistent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. Like, that were during my the most hated Leeds time, I suppose, in the last few years. Just like nothing goes our way. We get no luck whatsoever. And we constantly get dicked by stupid decisions and shit refereeing. It's just...
Did we go like a year without a penalty or something?
Oh, it was much longer than that, wasn't it?
53 games, I think it was.
Wow.
In my recent memory. It's a shame we don't have stats on. You could probably confirm. But I'm pretty certain it were about 53 games in a row that we'd not had a penalty for. Anyway, Mr. Dodo. Gray scores the winner to get us to autos on the last day at Ellen Road, that place. Oh, imagine. Imagine. Shirt off. Wheeling it around. the scenes. We can only hope, scenes. Can't we? Absolute scenes. He's back again. He's had his Weetabix this morning. What is technically better but a bit soft, whereas Roden is hard, the Welsh grizzled bastard. I think I agree, actually.
Yeah.
I think I agree. But like you've said already, Gilly, you know, Rodon's a proper centre-back, innit? Whereas you look at Ben White, he's more technical. He's a bit of a hybrid. He likes to carry the ball forward. As does Rodon.
Yeah, but you can't ever imagine Rodon having a diamond stud earring. You know, it's that kind of thing.
And a fake beard.
Yeah, and
a dangly one as well. A dangly one.
Yeah. Walking around with a sarong and a handbag like Everton players.
I saw a tweet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Calvert-Lewin. Yeah. Oh, well, another one as well. A midfielder as well that were just a dress sense.
I can imagine you in a sarong, you know.
Oh, Tom Davis.
Tom Davis, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think I'd rock it if I did it, but I'm not going to choose to do it because I were a centre-back. You know, it's not allowed.
It's just not the image you want, is it? You don't want to portray that.
Moving on. Can I just ask you a question, by the way?
Yeah.
How fucking old must Lee Peltier be? It feels like it was 20 years since he played for us.
A long time ago.
I'm fully under the feeling that he has like some sort of special potions and sold his soul to some particular thing. And when he gets home, he just drinks it all down. It's like that film with Bruce Willis, isn't it? He just keeps getting younger. It's just ridiculous. He's still going.
Keeps getting younger.
Is that Benjamin Button?
Yeah.
No, because whatever. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay. Whatever.
It's too early. It's
something you can pitch to the people over in the USA for a new film.
There you go. He's 37. It feels like he should be 47. He's been playing that long.
He's 37. He's still, well, fair play to him if he's still doing that. I mean, obviously, he I can't remember which player he took out. Was it Somerville? He went through the back of him.
Nonto? No. No, that was someone else.
I can't remember. He went through back of someone. Like it were a bit strong. Snowy says this was always going to be the run we needed to take advantage of. Now we need to make the most of our home and home form and beat the big boys. 100%. We just got to keep doing what we keep doing and keep Ellen Road a fortress. Do you reckon we'll go unbeaten all season?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. Yeah, to get the.
Do you know what? Unbeaten to this point, and people are calling it boring.
Do you know? It's such a luxury, isn't it, to call it boring. But there's still people not convinced by Farke. There's still people out there that aren't convinced by him, which is
it's mental
beyond crazy. We're better off at this point in our promotion season, points wise. Do you know what I mean? Yep. Albeit it's a bit of a freak of a season this season, but it is a question for you, right? Where does Bielsa get us with this squad? It's totally hypothetical.
Champions League.
I've just seen it compared on Twitter, and I'm just like, you can't compare the two.
Because there's
so many different variables, though. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, for me, Bielsa swashbuckling football was absolutely fantastic, and it used to get your blood pumping. But at the same time, you used to be shitting yourself because we always used to concede quite a lot of goals as well. Whereas this, defensively, this team is hell of a lot better. So,
yeah, but the goals would be absolutely just raining in under Bielsa.
I agree. I agree. Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
As long as we won 8-7, we'll be all right.
Yeah, that's it. They're two completely different bloody managers, though, aren't they? We're never going to get like Bielsa. Yeah.
Me personally, I don't think you can make that comparison because they're not compatible. I mean, Bielsa is obviously great and up there, but I don't think Farke's there yet. But Farke has a much better squad than what Bielsa had. It just proves how good
Farke's first season as well.
Yeah, and it just proves what such, I wouldn't say mediocre, but like what the type of squad that Bielsa had. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he had Pablo and Bamford and that, but I don't think he had such a good squad as Farke has now.
You look at obviously the way that we set up under Farke, it gives a lot of players a lot more freedom to kind of do what they want, but you can see the regimented passages of play that Bielsa used to have them playing, whereas Farke looks a bit more natural and a bit more fluid rather than so regimented. And I think, you know, Bielsa turned water into wine, didn't he? I mean, he literally took... We're always going to talk about Bielsa. We're always going to go over these certain points, but he took a team of very, very average footballers. When we were in the doldrums and we'd been subjected to shite football for so long, and just lifted us out of the, you know, like, what the hell is this? That Stoke game is probably the best game I will ever... I'll take it to the grave as probably the best game I'll ever go to, perhaps. Because it was just like, what am I seeing here? This is an efficient footballing side who are playing a team that have just been relegated from the Premier League with a dickhead manager that's saying that we were going to get pumped. I think it was Rowett at the time, wasn't it, when they were relegated? And I just thought, what the fuck are we seeing? Whereas we've been promoted, we've had an absolute shit time up in the Premier League, and now we've come down and we've got Farke. I just think we just need to enjoy again what we're seeing, because if we do get Premier League, it's going to be a bit miserable for a couple of seasons again until we have established ourselves. So I just think, it's like yesterday, there were a lot of talking going on around me, and I were getting a bit pissed off by it all. Because rather than singing and clapping and cheering and stuff, there were people having conversations.
Yeah.
Like actual proper conversations that you can have at a fucking home or something like that. I'm like, this is a fucking football game. Why are you talking about your fucking pet insurance and shit? What are you doing? This is the fucking South Stand as well. It's not like, you know, your family stands or frigging West Stand, but you know.
Or North East Upper.
Northeast Upper or whatever. South Stand, there's people, you know, we're scoring. There's people flying over. I'm getting booted in head by people that are flying over at top and stuff. And, you know, It's just crazy. It's just mental. But hey, you know, I'm just a miserable shit. last comment then. Top banana. Bamford was only doing the lead salute.
Oh, just like another player that was on the pitch.
Oh yeah.
Their captain was seen in 25 minutes
Morrison,
giving the lead salute, wasn't he? The little sneaky devil.
I saw it at the time, and I was like,
I did that.
Did that just happen?
He was cleaning ball or something, wasn't he? We're like,
He did it twice, What is he doing?
I didn't see that, obviously, because...
Imagine being a Rotherham fan and seeing that.
Yeah. I don't know whether he's their chief shithouse or if he's... I mean, I think he was getting a bit of stick, and you tend to get a bit of stick when you're there, don't you? Because you were right on the touchline. So he might have been getting a bit of stick, and it might have been him taking the piss. But if you're a Rotherham fan, you're fuming at that.
You wouldn't be happy, would you? I mean, I remember Preston fans used to kick off when Beckford used to come on, and he'd come on and
score for us.
You know, like, you can understand because obviously he's an ex-player and stuff like that. But for Rotherham captain, like, it's like you need to fucking watch what you're doing. You're gonna make yourself look a right twat, and you're all you know, your team's rock bottom of the frigging championship, and you're there going to Elland Road giving it big leads. So, like, what are you doing? What a dipstick. So, any comment on Somerville and how well he played, and Rutter and how well he's playing. It's just, I mean, it's the same old story, isn't it? Every single podcast that we come on, the same players are getting the nominations for obviously Man of the Match, but it's just such a joy to watch them in it. They're just so fluid, and it's just. I keep banging this drum about it and stuff like that. But we really do need to enjoy these games because it's not going to be like this next season.
It's really not, and it's not going to be like this next season, regardless of whether we go up or not. Because if we don't go up, then it's going to be very, very difficult to keep the suitors from the door. And if we do go up, then obviously the level of opposition is going to significantly change. I think from a perspective of Man of the Match, I would have gone slightly differently. I think it's easy to go Somerville. He played really well. He scored two goals. I think you're right with him and Ruta playing together. They're enjoying the football. And Nonto was getting involved in that as well. And you know, there were a few passages of play where there'd be 20 passes that were made where Gruev and Kamara were involved in it, but it was mainly the three in front of them that were just pinging it around between each other. And you think, well, this is just really, really good football to watch.
Yeah.
But I think for me, because of the clean sheet, maybe because I would have sent him back when I was playing, and maybe because I just love him so much. but equally, he got absolutely flattened out on touchline in front of their dugout. And for me, I would have just tipped Rodon for Man of the Match.
Mm. He's absolutely quality, isn't he? Willy Nonto got flattened. And that should have been the first penalty, to be fair.
That's the one I mentioned, because I think that started just outside the box. But if a foul continues into the box, it's a penalty. But he didn't even give a free kick.
He gave a keeper.
But Lionel didn't flag either.
No, he was useless.
Scissored him. He's literally wrapped both legs around his foot or his legs. And he's gone into the box, like, regularly. I mean, I thought it was a free kick. But first and foremost, it's a foul.
Yeah,
whether it's inside the box or outside the box, it doesn't matter. It was because when I saw the referee go like that, he pointed to the thing. I was like, penalty, get in. No, give a bloody goal kick. And I was just, it's just one of them, mate. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought it was terrible. And then the Jordan Hugill tackle on Rodon were just in the Prem. I think that's a red, you know. I think they turned it to a red.
I thought Hugill was looking at West Ham. When did he move to frigging Rotherham?
How he got a move to West Ham in the first place, mate? Is he still a West Ham player or is he there permanently?
I don't know. Is he on? Well, he must be on loan, I'm guessing.
But he's not. Sure, he's featured like twice for West Ham. I mean, he had that good season, didn't he, for Preston?
He'd been at Preston a while. But I think when he were at West Ham, he were really young, wasn't he? I remember a video of him before kickoff introducing himself. Oh.
I can't wait to see all these bubbles.
2020 left.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, but that is what he said. That's the video that I'm on about. Yeah. Can't wait to see all these bubbles. But yeah, no, he left it. He left West Ham having had three appearances in 2020, having been on loan at Middlesbrough and QPR while there. Signed for Norwich, stayed there, went on loan to West Brom and Cardiff, and he's now just a Rotherham player. Just a Rotherham player. I mean, that's. What a dickhead I sound like that. He's now a Rotherham player rather than being on loan at Rotherham.
Yeah, but to see his trajectory, though, like Danny's doing, you know, that's a hell of a fall from grace, starting it.
To say Norwich are a championship side. Preston, he had over 100 appearances at a very championship side. Rotherham, all right, maybe they're not going to be a championship side come end of the season because it's looking pretty precarious for them. But he's a championship player that managed to get a deal somewhere, and they quickly shipped him on. So he spent all his time at Championship. He's still in Championship.
It's the fact that he's not stayed at one club. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's always been loans for half a season. But anyway, he's not a league player, thank God.
What did you reckon to Conor Roberts' brief appearance, chaps? Danny, how come to you?
I just thought he did well. I think he got involved towards the end, didn't he? Look, across, almost got to his man. But other than that, mate, I thought it looks promising for me.
He made a big tackle down the right wing, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's got a rapturous applause. Obviously, we love a big tackle. Charlie Cresswell coming on, Gilly as well. Hey, I can see your face. It's Sunday morning.
Hey,
we were talking about scissoring earlier, and we skimmed over that as well.
So we did. We managed to avoid it.
Let's concentrate, lads. Let's not let it drop now.
This is just a continuation of Friday, isn't it?
It's Danny. Danny's the common denominator.
He's just filth. He's just a filthy little man from Murfield.
And we're just dead innocent, and he's just leading us up the garden path.
Don't dox me, Smarty.
Dox me. So talking about dog mother is early. Anyway, carry on.
I liked the debut. I thought he did. And the point is, don't get anything wrong. I think Cresswell coming on is the same. You know, he's had a pretty poor time of it. He's been cast in a pretty negative light. And then we're talking about, you know, that's been put to bed. It's been sorted. So he's got an opportunity. And again, it was that thing of, come on, keep it tidy. The game's already won unless we choose to shoot ourselves in the foot. So just keep it tidy. Do nothing wrong. No major mishaps and just get to end it game. And I think that's, you know, we said towards the end, it's great that Farke made some subs to get people involved at the time he did, because the game was done. It was over with as a contest. It did make it feel quite a bit like a friendly, though. We'd effectively changed half of the outfield. So it did feel like a friendly at that point. But it is important to get minutes in them players.
Yeah, absolutely. And we keep banging on about it, don't we? Saying, how are we going to get these guys any minutes? And this is the perfect situation for them to come in. You know, when we're comfortably in the lead, get some minutes in. I mean, Charlie Cresswell came on to a bit of a nice big cheer as well. Nice to see him.
Like him getting the Bamford chant. That's not right.
No, you know what it's like, though. That Bamford chant's a bit generic, isn't it? It can be applied to pretty much.
But it's ours for him, though, isn't it?
I know.
And he'd just gone off. But I tell you something, though. That Firpo chant is a right earworm in its ears.
I love it. Literally about to say that. I was singing it on the way home. I was singing it when I got home, minus the swear words, obviously, because the children were around.
We were singing it on Call of Duty last night.
We were giving it the big one.
The other player's like, what's that? We won the cup in Spain. Where's that coming from?
What's a junior Firpo? There'll be lots of people Googling Julia Firpo.
Julia Firpo. He's nice, Mrs.
Julia Firpo. Love it.
Julia and Junior.
That's the one. I can't find my shoe. I've lost my shoe. Is this not on your foot? Well, I say shoe. I mean croc.
Oh, no. No. Why have you done that?
Because...
And that's worse than you having to go at the Swifties. He's a croc-wearing Swiftie hater.
Listen.
How do I leave the stream?
I was bought some fleece-lined crocs. Because I needed something a bit more durable than my old footwear that I wore. And so there we are. So, I think I'm officially middle-aged now. But I might say that they are some of the most comfortable things I've ever had on my feet.
As a fanny.
A revelation, I think.
Fleece-wearing fanny.
Fleece-wearing. I've even got, right, and this is the one. My mum for my birthday. No, I ain't got a smoking jacket. I don't think I've got quite that level yet, but I've got the little lights that go on the front as well.
All right, that's it. I'm out. I'm not associated with this guy, this podcast. I'm sorry. Swifties, you know, go for it. I can't, mate.
Yeah, have at him.
Take him down. Cancel
nothing
him.
More than he deserves.
I don't care. I'm a real man. I've got some Crocs. I don't really have a right lot else to say, chaps. I think we've covered it all. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've got anything else to add.
I mean, Bandy's just in the comments here saying Roberts will be very lucky to get any starts this season. I think there's a lot of football still to be played. And I think if you look at the midfield, which is where we would see Roberts coming in with Archie moving forward, there's a lot of minutes to be played in there. And I think that it's likely that between now and the end of the season, we're not going to be able to field the same 11 on a consistent basis. Plus, there's the cup to consider. You know, the players, maybe not Roberts, because he can't have earned it because he wasn't with us, but those players that have not featured heavily in the league games have kind of earned an opportunity to play in the cup, because those are the players that have been involved in that. So whether it'll be any, I think he'll get some. It might be a lower number But it's important that we brought somebody in as that cover anyway.
I mean, I know we don't like to obviously swap and change and stuff, but we have got a very congested fixture list at the minute. We've got Swansea on Tuesday. The following Saturday, it's Plymouth, both away. Leicester at home on the Friday, then Chelsea away on the Wednesday, and then we're over, just a short trip over to Huddersfield on the following Saturday. That's a lot of games in a short period of time, so you would expect to see these players making more of an impact anyway from the bench.
We'll have a choice.
There will be some tired legs out there.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna flick through a few of these comments again because I have some friends in the comments.
Ooh, podcast friends.
I do. We've got OKB Fleeceline Smarty. No Croc slander from Dodo. He says, they're top-notch house shoes, but don't wear them to the shops because that just means you're a tit. I agree. I would never be seen dead outside in them, to be fair.
So I would say that goes for dressing gowns as well, because dressing gowns are elite. But you don't go out in them.
I'd have never, ever, ever worn a dressing gown in my life.
That's your problem, you see. I thought you were all right, but that we've got to it. We've got to the crux of the problem. You need a dressing gown. If you're cold, put your dressing gown on. If you want to be comfortable, put your dressing gown. If you're depressed or sad, dressing gown. It's just perfect.
If you're depressed, all your problems go away. Yeah, it's like woolly armor. You've already got
your cuddle.
You've got a dressing gown as well. Do you guys wear pajamas for beds?
No.
You don't wear pajamas. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, why would you be a dressing gown sporting?
It's not a for bed though,
and
it's
not having pajamas. I don't understand.
No, see, it's not to do with bed.
This is the real content we all want, right? What type of like? What do you wear to bed? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you have two pillows? Do you have three? This is the content we all want to know, Smarty.
I was going to say something, but then I remembered it was Sunday morning.
No, this is a real revelation.
I'm not Friday night.
I don't wear anything.
I need to get you a dressing gown.
I don't need a dressing gown.
You do. Everybody needs a dressing gown in their life.
Not everyone wears dressing gowns. Fucking hell. I wear my chuffing Grunder pants to bed, and that's it. I wear my shorts around house.
No, it's not to do with... Why do you keep talking about bed? It's not to do with bed.
I was talking about pyjamas. But you wear a dressing gown before. What do you do? Like, fucking... You put your dressing gown on when you get out of bed and you take it off when you go to bed. Sure.
I come home from work and I put my dressing gown on.
It's like
that's a sad
home
life.
Home.
That's a sad
life.
No,
see,
life.
What you do, you put your dressing gown on.
Hugh Hefner.
You put your dressing gown on, you get your bubble pipe, you put your fleece lined Crocs.
Bubble pipe.
One of them. You get your bubble pipe, you pick up one of your mahogany leather bound books and you read... Baba Black Sheep, and that's how United goes.
Oh, yes, another one. I thought frigging Chilino, you'd have a frigging dressing gown, of course.
If even Carl knows, you know you're letting yourself down, Smarty.
Crocs and socks. Andy, I'm not a virgin.
Crocs and socks.
So there won't be any sock wearing.
He must be German. Is Andy German?
Would that not be socks and sliders? Or what's them really awful,
socks
awful
of anything.
Things with the actual
sandals.
Straps around them? What are they called? The sandal
Jesus,
ones, but
Jesus
they've got a proper
Creeper.
Name, haven't they?
Oh my God, no.
They've got a proper name, haven't they? I can't think what they're called now. But anyway, just get
shit.
Sandals
shit,
can
German
just
shit, wear. Shit shoes. This is not a shit shoe podcast, by the way, or a dressing gown podcast.
Well, it is. Sorry. You brought Crocs up.
I did, and it's my fault. We've digressed massively, as we always do. So we've turned a Leeds pod.
What's Dodo done now?
Chaos.
He's left me a treat on Twitter. I'm very much looking forward to seeing that when we've ended the show.
Can't wait for this.
Everyone else, thank you to everyone in the comments for interacting with us this morning. Sometimes it can be a little bit hard getting up and at it first thing on a Sunday. Steady. Stop
hey,
it.
you rack them up, we'll knock them out
it's
of the park.
Sunday morning.
Yeah?
It's not allowed. Save it for next time. We'll get you on again. Save it for your podcast. Your podcast is filthy.
It is. Dirty.
Oh, that's dirty. The word. That's the word I was trying to think of. Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks.
Get in the bin.
Oh. They look like sliders. Cornish pasties that are on your feet, them. They look daft. I'm sure they're really comfortable. To be fair, I'm sure Birkenstocks, they do look comfortable. But
yeah, well, I'm sure Crocs are, but you'll never find them on my feet.
I'd need half a cow to get them on my feet. My feet are massive. They'd look just... People with big feet, right? Like, nice shoes
on
big,
hang
like,
on,
big feet
hang
look
on.
Stupid.
Is this who I think it is? No, then. Yes?
Look at the face.
Is that
look
what
at
I think
face.
It might be.
Is this?
It might be. I do have a work pair of Crocs.
It's all down.
I think this might be Smarty's missus.
Wait, no, it is. That is my missus. I have a pair of Crocs because everyone knows that I go down to the caravan but I've got a caravan in North Wales. I have to do a little bit of gardening here, there and everywhere. I do have an old pair that I'd wear to do shit like that.
How long is it until you have a south stand pair?
If Leeds United brought out a pair of Chuffing Lee's Crocs, I'd buy them. I wouldn't give me shit. And I'd even get the little thingy-majiggy thingy, whatever they're called, that you stick on them as well. Leeds badge. Stick it on there. Bosh. Bit of Lucas the Top Cat.
And wow. You see everyone in a 2 mile radius just leave you. You seen that meme? Where's that guy?
I reckon they'd sell. Absolutely. A pair of Leeds Crocs. White.
This should split the fan base. Like
blue and yellow stripes going over them.
You're right. No, this has split the fan base. It's just wrong. It's wrong. I know where I am on this.
I'm going to put a poll out after this. I'm going to see where we all stand. I'm not standing for this, Marty.
Leeds dressing gowns.
Hang on.
They do Leeds dressing gowns.
They do. That's why they're better.
Yeah.
They do them hoodies as well.
Do they? Oh, they're
yes.
good.
Leeds hoodie. I'm sure Leeds hoodie. Is it hoodie or Oodie? I don't know.
Oodies. Well, I think Oodie might be a brand. Is it like a jacuzzi or a whirlpool bath?
It's basically Leeds' version of them, but you look like Pac-Man. They're massive. They're like these fucking thick. It's practically like wearing a quilt. A strong wind and you're absolutely knackered. Would your Leeds Crocs be fleece lined? Now that is the question. I'm sorry to everyone who is watching this. Obviously, we've massively gone off topic here. Yeah, but you're talking about bloody your dressing gown nonsense.
You brought it up.
I'll have no more Croc slander. Anyway,
I dropped the N-bomb like that.
Thank you to Matthew and to Daniel this morning for joining me.
Hang on a minute. Can't drop the N-bomb like
croc
that.
Croccast. Croccast.
He calls himself that in our introduction.
Yes, I do. That's because I was playing around with the green screen behind me. New dressing gown wearers.
Yeah, but it doesn't carry any weight from a croc wearer, does it?
Sordid heathens, you
That's true, yeah. They are the lowest of the food chain.
No, absolutely not. They are elite, and you're only a proper bloke if you've got a pair of Crocs, and I will have no other words said against them. There were no more slander for Crocs. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. It's been a right laugh, as they say. Please like and subscribe to our channel for more Croc and dressing gown discussions. You know, what else do you want on a Sunday morning? Thank you again. We will see you on Tuesday for the main podcast. Or is it Wednesday? Actually, we've got a Tuesday game, haven't we?
Yeah.
So it'll be Wednesday, won't it? I think it's Gilly, Carl and Jay on for the main pod. But thank you very much for joining us. Cool. And we will see you through the week. And I've
forgotten to
get the outro.
See you, bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.